ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 9 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 20th ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ 1. ಶ್ರೀ ಬಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಬಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ಯತ್ರ ರಾಜಋಷಯೋ ವಂಶ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಂಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚ ಜಂಜಿರೇ. ಶ್ರೀಪಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶ ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶಂ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ರೋವಂಶಂ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ಯತ್ರ ರಾಜರ್ಷಯೋಸ್ವಂಶ್ಯಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಂಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚ ಜಂಜಿರೇ. ಶ್ರೀಪಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶಂ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ಯತ್ರ ರಾಜರ್ಷಯೋ ವಂಶ್ಯಾ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಂಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚ ಜಂಜಿರೇ. ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ರಾಜರ್ಷಯೋ ವಂಶ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ಶ್ರೀ ಬಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಗುರುರ್ವಂಶ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ಯತ್ರ ರಾಜರ್ಷಯೋ ವಂಶ ಮಾತಾಜೀಸ್. ಶ್ರೀಪಾದರಾಯಣೀರುವಾಚ ಪುರೋರ್ವಂಶ ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಯತ್ರ ಜಾತೋಸಿ ಭಾರತ ರಾಜರ್ಷಯೋ ವಂಶ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಶ್ರೀಪಾದರಾಯಣಿ ಉವಾಚ ಶ್ರೀ ಶುಕದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೆಡ್ ಪುರೋಹ ವಂಶಂ ಪುರೋಹ ವಂಶಂ ದ ಡೈನಸ್ಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಪೂರು ಪ್ರವಕ್ಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ನೌ ಐ ಶಲ್ ನರೇಟ್ ಯತ್ರ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಡೈನಸ್ಟಿ ಜಾತಃ ಅಸಿ ಯು ವರ್ ಬಾರ್ನ್ ಭಾರತ ಓ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಡಿಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಭರತ ಯತ್ರ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಡೈನಸ್ಟಿ ರಾಜ ಋಷಯ ಆಲ್ ದ ಕಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವರ್ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ವಂಶ್ಯಾ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಅನದರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮವಂಶ್ಯಾಹ ಮೆನಿ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಡೈನಸ್ಟೀಸ್ ಚ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಜಜ್ನಿರೇ ಗ್ರೂ ಅಪ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಪರ್ಪುಟ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎ ಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ್ಪ ಶಿಲ್ಪ್ರೂಪಾದಿಕಿ ಜಯ್. ಶುಕದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೆಡ್ ओ महाराज परीक्षित, डिसेंडेंट ऑफ महाराज भरत, आई शैल नाउ डिस्क्राइब द डायनेस्टी ऑफ पुरु इन विच यू वर बॉर्न, इन विच मेनी सेंटली किंग्स अपियर्ड एंड फ्रॉम विच मेनी डायनेस्टीज ऑफ ब्राह्मणस बिगैन. पर्पट. देर आर मेनी हिस्टोरिकल इंस्टेंसेस बाय विच वी कैन अंडरस्टैंड दैट फ्रॉम क्षत्रियस मेनी ब्राह्मणस हैव बीन बॉर्न एंड दैट फ्रॉम ब्राह्मणस many kshatriyas have been born. The Lord himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Therefore, regardless of the family in which one takes birth, when one is qualified with the symptoms of a particular section, he is to be described accordingly. Yel lakshanam proktam. One's place in the varna divisions of society is determined according to one's symptoms or qualities. This is maintained everywhere in the Shastra. Birth is a secondary consideration. The first consideration is one's qualities and activities. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं. वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश. नमा ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Hare Krishna. So before starting the discussion on Bhagavatam, I'd like to take blessings of all the senior devotees present here and all the other devotees also present. Hare Krishna. So yesterday Devaki Nandanpu very systematically covered the whole chapter, the previous chapter, which was just concluded the discussion of the past time of Maharaj Yayati. So in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami continues ahead to describe the dynasty of Puru. So the chapter summary Prabhupada has given as follows. In this chapter, describes the history of Puru and his descendants Dushmanta. The son of Puru was Janmejaya and his son was Prachinvan. The sons and grandsons in the line of Prachinvan, one after another, were Pravira, Manushya, Charupada, Sudyu, Bahugava, Samyati, Ahanyati and Rudrashva. Rudrashva had 10 sons. Riteyu, Kakshayu, Sthandilyeyu, Kriteyuka, Jaleyu, Sannatyeyu, Dharmeyu, Satyeyu, Vrateyu, and Vaneyu. The sons of Riteyu and was Rantinava, who had 3 sons, Sumati, Dhruva, and Apratiratha. The son of Apratiratha was Kanva, and Kanva's son was Medhatithi. The sons of Medhatithi, headed by Praskanna, were all Brahmanas. The son of Rantinava, named Sumati, had a son named Rebhi, and his son was Dushmanta. While hunting in the forest, Dushmanta once approached the ashrama of Maharshi Kanva, where he saw an extremely beautiful woman and became attracted to her. That woman was the daughter of Vishwamitra, and her name was Shakuntala. Her mother was Menaka, who had left her in the forest. When Kanva Muni found her, Kanva Muni brought her to his ashrama, where he raised and maintained her. When Shakuntala accepted Maharaj Dushmanta as her husband, he married her according to the Gandharva Vidhi. Shakuntala later became pregnant by her husband, who left her in the ashram of Kanva Muni and returned to his kingdom. In due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a Vaishnava son. But Dushmanta, having returned to his capital, forgot what had taken place. Therefore, when Shakuntala approached him with her newly born child, Maharaj Dushmanta refused to accept him as his wife and son. Accept them as his wife and son. Later, however, after a mysterious omen, the king accepted them. After Maharaj Dushmanta's death, Bharata, the son of Shakuntala, was enthroned. He performed many great sacrifices, in which he gave great riches and charity to the Brahmanas. This chapter ends by describing the birth of Bharadwaja and how Maharaj Bharata accepted Bharadwaja as his son. So this chapter describes how in the dynasty of Puru, there were many great personalities. Some of them were also, there were Kshatriya dynasties and also Brahmana dynasties. So this pastime will be discussed later on in detail. So this is a very famous pastime of Dushmanta and Shakuntala. Many of us must have heard it before, but the Bhagavatam describes some interesting details. So in this purport, Prabhupada, in the first verse, it's interesting that even Shukadeva Goswami mentions that this is the dynasty in which you were born, means he is addressing Parikshit Maharaj, because he is also a descendant of Maharaj Bharat. So this comes many places even in the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is referred to as Bharata, means O descendant of Bharat. So that is this particular king, Bharat Maharaj, right? And even here Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj as Bharata, so descendant of Bharat. So Prabhupada in the purport is discussing about this theme, that one's Varna is to be determined according to the qualification primarily, not just according to one's birth. So generally in the previous ages, because there was no mixing of the different varnas, things were very pure. So generally the son of a Brahmana, because the Brahmana and the Brahmani, they're together, the husband and wife, they had a particular mentality, and when they come together, it attracts a particular kind of soul with a particular kind of mentality, right? So because they would be of this particular consciousness, so therefore their child also generally be a Brahmana. Means they, a child with that particular disposition would be attracted, and since from the beginning his upbringing also will be in that kind of environment, then he also becomes a Brahmana. Similarly, the son of a Kshatriya would generally be a Kshatriya, and so on. But however, the qualification, the exact, the how it is decided is according to one's guna and karma, according to one's qualities and one's activities. Therefore, this term is used in the scriptures called as Dvija Bandhu. Generally, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, they would be initiated. They would go to the Gurukul and accept the spiritual master and learn in the Gurukul. The Shudras, generally, they are not interested. Therefore, they are not sent to the Gurukul. So, they are called as Dvijas, those who are twice born. So, there's a term in the scriptures called Dvija Bandhu. Means they are born in the family of the Dvijas, but if they do not accept the they do not fit the criteria or the qualification of that particular, say if they are in a Brahmana family, they do not fit the qualification of a Brahmana, then they are called a Brahma Bandhu or Kshatra Bandhu and so on. So this term is used, so we can understand just by the presence of this term that, you know, the qualification was also checked. However, if somebody is born in that particular family, then he is having a high chance because from his childhood he is exposed to all those, to that environment. So for him to, say for a son of a Brahmana to get qualified to become a Brahmana, attain that qualification becomes very easy and conducive. Right? However, that is not the norm that he has to be born in that family only. The scriptures give a very famous example of Jabali, right? So he wanted to learn in the Gurukul. He wanted to become a Brahmana. So he approached his guru. So his guru asked him a question. Okay, you first tell me. I only teach Brahmanas. You tell me who is your father, right? So he goes and asks his mother. His mother says, I cannot tell for sure. And then he goes and tells this to the guru. And then he says, yes, so you are qualified to, I will teach you, because it is the quality of a Brahmana to tell the truth. Right? So by that he understands that he is qualified. So he accepts him and trains him. Right? So, generally the big question whenever any discussion about Varnashram and these things are done, all devotees generally have this question, okay, this was at that age, what about at this age? You know, the special feature of Kali Yuga is that there is so much mixing amongst the Varnas that it is very difficult to determine who is what. Right? And there are so many exceptions, so difficult nowadays. This discussion comes in the Mahabharata that I think it was Nahusha, who is in the form of a snake, he captures Bhima and he does not let go. And then he says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he approaches to free his brother, so he says, you have to answer my questions. Right? If you answer my questions, then I will release your brother. Otherwise, I will eat him up. So Nahusha was that powerful in the form of snake. So, there is a very interesting discussion which happens. Yudhishthira Maharaj also, whenever any such kind of discussion happens, he becomes very interested. Even in the forest, when they were in the exile, you know, he would relish in all these kinds of discussions. And then the other brothers would get upset with him that we are in this exile. And then, you know, he is simply relishing this forest life. You know, he was very spiritually minded. He was very Brahmanically inclined. Especially inclined to these kind of discussions, you know, because the Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he was answering these questions one by one of Nahusha. So one of the questions Nahusha asks is, how do you know what Varna you belong to? So there Yudhishthira Maharaj gives a very interesting answer. He says, in the previous ages, it was determined by birth. He says, in the previous ages, it was determined by birth. But now, means that was at the end of Dwapar Yuga. Even at the end of Dwapar Yuga, there had been mixing of the Varnas. Jaya Shishi Radha Rasvira ki, Jaya Shishi Gornita ki, Jaya Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Harman ki. So even at that age, there was mixing of the Varnas. Therefore, he says, right now, at this time, it has to be determined according to one's guna and karma. right? So even at that time, it was considered an important thing, right? To determine according to one's guna and karma. So now this big question comes whenever any this kind of discussion happens is, how is it applicable now at this circumstance, you know, where we see how the situation is of the different governments in the world, right? So Prabhupada spoke so much about this, had a lot of discussion, especially in the later part of his teachings. If we see, he gives a lot of stress to Varnashram. He said, 50% of my task is yet to be accomplished. So this is a famous quote where he mentions this. So the establishing of Varnashram is a major task which is yet to be achieved. Right? So some very senior devotees, they also mention that Prabhupada has already established most of the Varnashram. Like if you see, Prabhupada established the Brahmachari Ashram, there is a Grihastha Ashram, Vanaprasthas, though not many, Vanaprasthas are there and Sannyasis are there, right? And Prabhupada also spoke a lot and gave guidance about Brahmanas, right? So of all the four Varnas and the four Ashrams, the four Ashramas are clear, and the Varna, especially the Brahmanas, so Prabhupada spoke a lot about that. Prabhupada established that. So Prabhupada spoke a lot about establishing Brahmanical culture. Prabhupada said that in the way he has come to the West to come searching for Brahmanas, right? He has come to create Brahmanas, right? Therefore, if we see the whole Vaishnava culture, the culture which we have in ISKCON is it's basically a Brahminical lifestyle. Getting up early in the morning, you know, performing our sadhana and all other various duties, especially in the temple, they are all Brahminical activities, right? So they are involved, they are around, say, worshipping the deities, distributing spiritual literature, and all other activities in the temple of cleaning, keeping the temple clean, preaching, studying and teaching the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So they are all Brahminical activities. So Prabhupada had established even that, right? So where does this Varnashram fit in, right? So if we know that the Vaishnavas, they are higher than even the Brahmanas, right? So Varnashram, it's mentioned that it is like a safe net, right? We all are supposed to perform, we perform devotional service. You know, we focus on chanting the holy names, doing Harinam Sankirtan, discussing Bhagavatam and so on, right? So these are all devotional principles. Even in the 64 regulative principles in the Nectar of Devotion, specifically Rupa Goswami has not mentioned Varnashram as a devotional, as one of the principles of regulative principles of devotional service. He has not mentioned that. But still, Varnashram is to be considered important because we are not at that platform where we can maintain ourselves in a very high Krishna conscious atmosphere. Therefore, setting of Varnashram will facilitate and help us to become Krishna conscious. So in that way, we practice the principles of Varnashram. Like say, bhakti can be practiced in any ashram. It's not dependent on any ashram, right? But still, when we follow the principles of a particular ashram, like say if we follow the principles of a Brahmachari ashram, we follow Brahmacharya, we keep our life simple, and you know, all the other principles of Brahmacharya, when we follow Brahmachari, Gurukule, Vasandantor, Guror Hitam, Acharan, Dasavan, Nicho, Guror, Suhurada, Sauhrudam. So in this way, when we follow, it becomes very conducive, it creates a very conducive setting where we can practice Krishna consciousness. So, if somebody is on the liberated platform and he is beyond the three modes of material nature, for him, Varnashram is not necessary. He need not follow the norms and rules and regulations of Varnashram. But if you are not, then these things are highly recommended. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, third chapter, 33rd verse, right? Sadrusham cheshtate swasya prakriter jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. So Krishna is saying that everybody acts according to one's his nature, right? He says even a man of knowledge, jnanavanapi, right, he acts according to his own nature. It says sadrusham cheshtate swasyaha, right? For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes, prakritim yanti bhutani. Therefore Krishna is asking Arjuna, what will repression accomplish? Because Arjuna, he wanted to go to the forest and live by begging, because somehow or the other he wanted to avoid the war. He didn't want to kill his relatives. One of the reasons he gives is that, you know, why should I kill my relatives and these brahmanas who are present on the other side? If you see Dronacharya and Kripacharya, they were brahmanas. So though they were fighting on the other side, it was their fault that they were doing it. It is mentioned. But still, nonetheless, they are to be respected as elders. So he says, no, I will be affected by sin. Right? But and he says, I better go and live in the forest by begging, right, than to kill all of them and enjoy the kingdom alone. So Krishna says here that even a man of knowledge, he still acts by his nature. Therefore, all throughout the Gita also, the Lord, he gives recommendation to Arjuna. He says that he should continue, he should not give up his dharma. He should not give up his kshatriya dharma. Right? Even if one is qualified, he says in the third chapter, even if one is qualified to do so, still as a matter of setting example for others, one still has to perform one's prescribed duty for the sake of setting example even, right? So Prabhupada says in the purport, unless one is situated on the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness, he cannot get free from the influence of the modes of material nature as it is confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter 7.14. therefore, even for the most highly educated person on the mundane plane, it is impossible to get out of the entanglement of Maya simply by theoretical knowledge or by separating the soul from the body. There are many so-called spiritualists who outwardly pose as advanced in the science, but inwardly or privately are completely under the modes of material nature which they are unable to surpass. Right? Academically, one may be very learned, but because of his long association with material nature, he is in bondage. So, however, somebody who is practicing Krishna consciousness, he is not limited by this. Right? Prabhupada says further that Krishna consciousness helps one to get out of material entanglement. So, just by performing prescribed duties, does not free one from material entanglement. Ultimately, one has to follow the process of Krishna consciousness. The famous verse from the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni says, Tektva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan napakvata pateta toyadi yatra kova badram abhudam ushyakim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha. It says, just by following one swadharma, it says, what is the use? Right? He says that even if there is a risk involved, better take to Krishna consciousness. Right? Though it is generally, somebody who is on the platform of Varnashram, it's not recommended to give up one's duties. Right? But it says Krishna consciousness will actually solve, is the actual solution to all problems. Therefore, even if at the sake of risk of neglecting one's prescribed duty, if one takes up to Krishna consciousness and is on that platform, it says Sarvatmana yat sharanam sharanam gato mukundam parihitya kartam. Right? If one takes complete shelter of the Lord, you know, Sarvatmana, you know, said Sharanam Sharanyam, you know, Sharanya, the Lord who is worth taking shelter of, then he says whatever rent he has, you know, he says all the his rent is completely removed, right? He does not get sinful reaction, right? So therefore, Prabhupada says, even though Krishna consciousness helps one to get out of material entanglement, even though one may be engaged in the prescribed duties in terms of material engagements. Therefore, so Prabhupada is concluding here, without being fully in Krishna consciousness, one should not give up his occupational duties. No one should suddenly give up his prescribed duties and become a so-called yogi or transcendentalist artificially. It is better to be situated in one's position and to try to attain Krishna consciousness under superior training. Thus, one may be freed from the clutches of Krishna's Maya. So, better is to be situated in one's position. So now, where are these prescribed duties defined? So, if you actually see, Varnashram only defines all of these prescribed duties. What is the duty of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra? What is the duty of a Brahmana, Kshatriya? Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. So, the book which describes, all of these are described in the Dharma Shastras. Like, Prabhupada also quotes in the Bhagavad Gita about Manu Samhita. So, many places he describes whenever there is discussion about rules to be followed. You know, the prescribed books which talk about these rules and regulations which are to be followed by humans are mentioned in the Manu Samhita. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita. Probably it's 3.22 purport, right? A few other places in the Gita also Prabhupada mentions this. So it's very interesting. You know, many people have different kinds of ideas about Manu Samhita, but if you see what is the subject matter of Manu Samhita, Manu Samhita basically is talking about Varnashram. The opening question itself of Manu Samhita says, all the demigods approach Brahma and request him to please speak and explain Daiva Varnashram. So, we talk about Daiva Varnashram, like how Prabhupada implemented Daiva Varnashram. That's what we also follow. So, that is the opening question of the Manu Samhita. Please describe Daiva Varnashram. Daiva Varnashram basically means whatever duties any of the Varnas or Ashram perform, one who is in that Varna or Ashram, they do it for the pleasure of the Lord. So, that is very clear in Daiva Varnashram. So, that is the opening question itself. So, Brahma starts speaking and explaining about Daiva Varnashram and how it is meant, or the whole setting is meant, so that one ultimately attains Lord Vishnu. And later on, Bhrigumuni starts speaking, right? So, Brahmaji hands over to Bhrigumuni. So, the rest of the thing is spoken by Bhrigumuni. So, basically in the Manu Samhita, these are only described. It starts with, duties of a Brahmana, duties of Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, duties of Brahmacharyas, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. And exceptions to this are also discussed in one chapter. So, this is what basically is mentioned in the Manu Samhita. Like, somebody may say that, Varnashram is not practical at this age. It is not practical at this age. So, I heard a very interesting example. He says, everything has principles, right? So, cooking also is governed by certain principles. So, if somebody knows what is the principle of cooking, so he will be able to cook anywhere, whatever be the circumstance. Whatever may be the cuisine, he will be able to cook. Like it says, how do you cook something? Either you have to boil, or you have to fry, or you have to bake. I think there's one more, right? Or you fry in oil, or you dry, you know, just heat like that, roast, yeah. So these are the four ways in which you have to cook. So if somebody who knows this principle, how it works, he can cook anywhere. Like there are many stories of Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was very expert in cooking. One place Prabhupada went, they didn't have enough vessels. So there was no, like, you know, to put choke, you need a separate vessel. In which you can make all the choke and then pour. But then there was no facility there. Especially in the West, many places there is no fire only. You know, they have induction or whatever. Some kind of situation like that was there. So Prabhupada, he put choke without using a second vessel. Right? And all devotees were like very amazed the way Prabhupada did choke. He cooked using steam or something. Right? He did like that. Another place where Prabhupada went... Prabhupada always liked his chapatis to be puffed up, you know, his pulkas, you know, should be puffed up nicely. So there they didn't have fire, they had to cook on induction, similar situation. So they were not able to puff up the chapatis. So Prabhupada saw one or two chapatis, you know, they were not good. So then he went and he showed the devotees how to puff up chapatis on an induction. Right? So it says Prabhupada knew the principles of cooking. So it said a cook, good cook does not blame the vessels. Irrespective of what vessels are available, what kind of heating medium is available, he will be able to cook. Similarly, Varnashram is also governed by certain principles. Right? So why Varnashram cannot be completely implemented now is not, one cannot blame the situation completely to the, one cannot blame the situation completely, just like a good cook cannot blame the vessels. It is because of a lack of understanding of how to implement Varnashram. If we know the principle, Varnashram can be implemented anywhere. So what is lacking is the right understanding. Right? So it is not that one has to, Varnashram can be implemented only in a farm where, you know, everything is peaceful and there is no influence of outside elements at all. So right here in the city itself, the Varnashram principles can be practiced. However, we don't have to take anxiety for this. All devotees will basically have to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness directly only. It is said, Prabhupada says this in the Bhagavad Gita purport, that these scriptures like Manusamhita, or these are to be understood by the leaders of society. Now, because everyone cannot understand them anyway, it is difficult. It is not meant for everyone. Right? If you see, Krishna consciousness is meant for everyone. Right? When, irrespective of whom we are speaking Krishna consciousness to, we are teaching, we say the same things. Like the principles of Bhagavad Gita can be spoken to everybody. You can go to anyone, to any part of the world and say, okay, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. Right? You are eternal servant of Krishna and you have to chant Hare Krishna. And that is the way you can get out of this material entanglement and go back home, back to Godhead, which is the goal of life. Right? This knowledge is meant for everyone. Right? There is no bar to speak spiritual knowledge to anybody. But when it comes to these kind of things, you know, there is a qualification also from the side of the audience. It is meant for certain categories of people only. It is meant for the leaders. Right? Especially, I heard, when we say leaders, it means the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. It is meant for them only. Because they are involved in... the Brahmanas are involved in giving guidance to the Kshatriyas who are responsible for the governance of the state and, you know, responsible for that. It is very important for them, especially the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, to be very thoroughly trained in these principles. Because it is one of the duties of a Kshatriya to make sure that Varnashram is being performed, right? The society, everybody is following the rules and regulations of the Varnashram or the regulations of the scriptures. Right? So it is important for them to understand very clearly what is Varnashram. So it's not that the Kshatriyas would not know. If we see the kind of arguments Arjuna gives in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is very clear that he is also very highly trained in these principles. He is also trained in the scriptures. Right? Arjuna took 40 minutes, if you recite the Bhagavad Gita straight, it takes around 30 minutes to 40 minutes. He took 40 minutes to understand Bhagavad Gita. Right? So how many of us have that capacity? That you just hear straight 40 minutes and we have understood. You know, Krishna says, Arjuna says that in the end, right? Nasto moha smriti labdha tvat prasadat maya chuto. He has completely understood, his illusion is shattered and he is ready to do what Krishna is saying. So that was the capacity of Arjuna. So even the Kshatriyas were highly qualified. They would also be extremely learned in the Shastra. So the only difference between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas would be that the Brahmanas would not get into this kind of affairs of the state and managing. They would keep themselves detached, aloof from all of these. The Kshatriyas would not keep themselves aloof. They would get into all of these, right? And they would manage. And Kshatriyas would also not act independently. They would act under the guidance of the Brahmanas. So that is always a norm. So now we see in history, in different countries around the world, where these systems were not followed very properly. If you see, devotees mention that Kshatriyas or the kings, there was this whole how the monarchy collapsed. They were not taking guidance under the Brahmanas. They were acting independently. Therefore, people were not happy and satisfied, right? So this monarchy had collapsed because they were not following the guidance of the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas, you know, they are actually very powerful. If you see the Vedic systems, it's mentioned even in the Manu Samhita, that the Brahmanas have the right to take the, dethrone the king. They are the ones who put the king, by their permission, the king is coronated, you know, he is made the king. And if the king is not following his duties properly, the Brahmanas have the power to remove him and place somebody else who is qualified. We see this in the Bhagavatam, in the case of Maharaj Vena. He was not acting according to the principles. And then the Brahmanas, they were dissatisfied. They only first put him on the throne, but then later on when they advised him and he was not listening, with one hunkar, you know, they killed him. And then again, you know, they were deciding who to put on the throne. And then they churned his body, and then Prithu Maharaj appeared, Prithu and Archi, who became the king. So the Brahmanas, but then if the Brahmanas become corrupt, if you see, it is said, Sringi, when he cursed Maharaj Parikshit, it is said he fell from that Brahminical standard. The degradation of Brahmana started from there because Sringi became proud. So Brahmanas are in such a position where they are prone to become proud, right? And that's what happened in the Kali Yuga, right? So we see now there is a capitalist, basically that is when the Vaishyas take control. The Vaishyas are supposed to be under the Kshatriyas, right? They are supposed to pay tax to the Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas collect the tax. It is their right to collect the tax and make arrangements, right? And protect Dharma. So that is way the Kshatriyas work, which is supposed to be under the guidance of Brahmanas. But then when the Vaishyas take control, that is basically what is capitalism, right? So then they tend, the Vaishyas, the businessmen, they tend not to follow Dharma. If they are in a situation where the Kshatriyas are very strict with them, then they will follow Dharma. And whatever the case, they will make money, right? If the Kshatriyas, are not very strict and somehow they are not implementing, forcing them to creating a situation where they have to follow Dharma, then they will do by whatever means. They may not follow Dharma, but they will still make money, right? So that is the nature of a Vaishya. If he is under good government, then he will follow Dharma. He will do Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijam, following all the principles and giving charity and so on. But then if that is not the situation, then as you see in the current age, somehow or the other, they are going to make money somehow or the other. But they may not necessarily follow the principles in the scriptures. Like there are many people who became rich just by, you know, opening huge slaughterhouses and so on. That also takes a lot of intelligence and some Vaishya intelligence, right, to increase their business. But then, if you see, because the government is not very strict with them and they are not strictly implementing, this principle of no meat eating, so they are into all these, they are doing business which involves breaking the regulative principles, right? And then when Shudras take control, that is basically what is communism. So they said, no, everything has to be divided equally amongst everybody. Right? It is said the Shudras' concern is things should be peaceful, there should not be any anxiety, sense gratification should not be hampered. That is what is Shudras' major concern. So they tried to make this whole experiment around 70 years it lasted. It became a very big failure, which ended basically with the collapse of communism and Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, right? So we see any of these things, systems where a particular category of people try to take control or try to become prominent, will not work. Finally, even if society at large has to be, has to work peacefully with least problems, and society has to flourish, even they have to follow Varnashram after all, finally, right? But ultimately we understand that Krishna consciousness is the solution. Therefore, we focus on giving the ultimate solution to people, right? So, Prabhupada says further in the purport of the 35th verse in the third chapter. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha paradharmat swanishtitat swadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. Says it is far better to discharge one's prescribed duty, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's duty is better than engaging in another's duty. For to follow another's path is dangerous. It says, swadharme nidhanam. It says, even destruction in following one's own swadharma is better, is shreya. Paradharma. It says, than by following somebody, trying to follow somebody else's duty perfectly. Yeah. So Prabhupada says this in the purport. One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness, rather than those prescribed for others. Right? So basically, if somebody is not following his duty and trying to do somebody else's duty, there is disturbance in society. Right? So that disturbance has to be avoided. Like I heard one interesting example. Unless things are managed according to these principles, things will not be peaceful. For example, if the kitchen department suddenly decides, okay, now every day we'll hand out papers to everybody and take a vote, or you know, we'll take opinion from everybody what items should be made the next day. Or basically we'll try to involve everyone in deciding the menu. So those who have even little management experience, especially in regard to kitchen, will understand that it will lead to total chaos, because you can't satisfy everybody, right? If you, especially if you involve everyone, best arrangement is to keep one kitchen in charge and tell him, okay, you decide, and he tries his best to satisfy different devotees, or maybe on different days satisfy different devotees. One day you make Odia item, one day South Indian item, or whatever. In that way, he tries his best to make sure that all devotees are satisfied overall. So that will be the best arrangement. But then if you decide, no, everybody has to be involved only. So basically, all devotees will have to start fasting, right? They will not be able to, you know, the kitchen will not run properly. Or in an army, if the the commander, the general, he says, okay, you know, whether we should go and attack this place or go and attack this place in between the army and in between the fight. If he says, okay, he calls all the soldiers and says, what is your opinion? You know, where should we? And he involves everybody in that decision making of whether we should go and do this or do that. Should we attack and should we not attack? So what is going to happen? Right? It is not going to work. So modern society is like that. They are trying to involve everybody, or trying to involve people who are necessarily not meant to be involved. Like, so it is best one performs one's duty according to what is recommended. And in that way, the society will run peacefully. Materially, prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. So this is where this comes, that Varnashram is like a net. If you are not able to be on the platform of pure Krishna consciousness, which is very difficult to be 24 hours by 7, like if you tell, okay, all of you henceforward have to just chant Hare Krishna only, no, just keep chanting like Haridas Thakur, you know, so it will be difficult. We need to be engaged, right? So therefore we have different services by which we try to be engaged in Krishna service, right? So, how, if you are not being able to, say, if there is no system of Varnashram only, if one is not in the pure platform of Krishna consciousness, he directly falls down to sense gratification, right? Breaking the principles. But then if there is that Varnashram in between, No, it's like when in the circus, when they do all their feats, there is always a safe net below. So they are jumping, you know, and doing their somersaults and all that, and they're jumping and catching the rope from here, there. But then they know that there is a net. In case I slip and fall, the net is there and I will be safe. Similarly, Varnashram is like that net. Even if we fall from the principles of Krishna consciousness, we are not purely in that platform of pure Krishna consciousness, at least we'll fall to the principles of Varnashram. We'll act according to one's our own psychophysical nature. And Varnashram principles are set in such a way that, you know, your service is what you like to do. That is how it is arranged. Like this comes in many places. For a Kshatriya, if the Brahmanas are in trouble or the cows are being harmed, for him to go and protect them, that itself is like a reward. So service is the reward, right? Like generally sometimes when we are given some service, we feel, array, you know, I don't get to do what I like, right? We feel little, you know, kind of, we are not very interested. But then if things are arranged according to the principles of Varnashram, it will be, you know, like for a Brahmana to, if you lock him in a room with books, for him that is sufficient. He doesn't need anything else. Right, he can thoroughly himself immerse himself in the scriptures. For a Kshatriya, if you tell him to do this kind of, you know, protecting or you know, establishing or making sure everybody is following dharma, for him that is the reward. If for a Vaishya, if he is and somehow or the other gets to, if you involve him in money matters, right, raising funds or whatever, you know, making sure these things. Even anything to land and cows, he is very excited with that, right? If for Shudra, basically you tell him what to do and don't disturb him so much, then he is happy, right? So in this way, if things are arranged, then that acts as a protective net. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual. So here Prabhupada in the purport is talking about material duties and spiritual duties. So, in one sense, even in the Manu Samhita, the maximum discussion, majority of the Manu Samhita discusses about the duties of a grihastha. There's so much discussion about that. And the duties of a kshatriya. Right? I think there's one or two verses which talks about the duties of a vaishya. And there is half verse which talks about the duties of a shudra. Duty of a shudra is to follow and serve the other three varnas. That's all is mentioned, right? So so the major discussion is about grihastha dharma and specifically a lot of discussion about kshatriya dharma, right? So in one sense, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, is very easy because Prabhupada said there is brahmanical culture. So for the brahmanas, the sadhana is the service. They don't do something much different generally. There are some things recommended, but generally for them the sadhana is the service. Therefore many activities in Krishna consciousness, especially if somebody is a brahmachari, most of the things, even whenever anything is discussed about training, basically training is training in brahmanical culture. That's all. Anything regarding training is training in brahmanical culture. So what do we mean when we say, oh, this devotee is trained? Okay, he gets up early in the morning, he attends the morning program, he keeps himself clean, wears tilak, comes, chants in the morning. He is able to complete his 16 rounds every day. And he does what is told, his what service is allotted, he tries to do to the best of his capacity. So basically, that is the training. So training basically means training in brahmanical culture. So for us in Krishna consciousness, it becomes very easy, especially if somebody is brahmachari, that he basically has to engage himself in brahmanical activities. Right? And that is what is the Gurukul training also. Gurukul training, the whole thing is about training in brahmanical culture. And of course, later on, when the boy has grown up to a certain age, depending on what varna he is, his psychophysical nature, some things are also taught. Like specifically, you know, Vaishya, he is not taught elaborately in the Gurukul of how to do business. He learns how to do business. When he is in the Gurukul, he becomes situated, his spiritual life, his spiritual training is given. Right? And when he comes back to his home, he learns business from his father. Right? You learn business only by doing business. And you don't have to specifically give training that, you know, how do you identify? If it is his psychophysical nature, he is going to catch it very easily. Right? So that's why it is said the Vaishyas come back early from the Gurukul. Kshatriyas stay a little longer and the Brahmanas stay a little more longer. Right? Okay. So therefore spiritual duties are basically what the spiritual master mentions. And Prabhupada further says, when one is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed rules for his particular situation and should not imitate others. For example, a Brahmana who is in the mode of goodness is non-violent, whereas a Kshatriya who is in the mode of passion is allowed to be violent. As such, for a Kshatriya, it is better to be vanquished before the rules of violence, following the rules of violence, than to imitate a Brahmana who follows the principle of non-violence. Everyone has to cleanse his heart by the gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we do whatever is told. Morning, a devotee may do worship. Then, daytime, he may go for distributing books or fund collection. And then evening when he comes back, if the temple commander says, he may clean the toilet also. Right? So basically he does whatever is required for the service of the Lord. So, you know, what Varna, if you say everybody has to be divided in a Varna, is he a Brahmana because he does worship? Or is he a Vaishya because he goes for fund collection, generating funds? Or is he a Shudra because he is just engaged in cleaning and does what he is told? So this is the platform of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava does whatever is required for the service of the Lord, he is ready to perform. Right? Therefore, generally it is said, Vaishnavas are, Prabhupada says, they are all Brahmanas. Because everybody follows Brahmanical lifestyle. They follow the same lifestyle. Therefore, many times it is addressed that the Vaishnavas are the best Brahmanas. Right? Okay. So Prabhupada later on in this purport gives the example of how on the transcendental platform, sometimes a Kshatriya may become a Brahmana or a Brahmana may become a Kshatriya. So examples he gives is how Vishwamitra, though being born as a Kshatriya, he acted as a Brahmana, and Parashuram, though he was born as a Brahmana, he acted as a Kshatriya. And Prabhupada also gives a warning in the end that, being transcendentally situated, they could do so. But as long as one is on the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature. At the same time, he must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any quick questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for the class. So you are mentioning about in the beginning you said about the society, that how monarchy was lost and all. So I was thinking and then now at the end you mentioned about Vaishnavas. So how would it be that if in the outside world, in maintaining a society, there is this hybridization, just like, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, all the qualities of this you try to imbibe in a person. So when you rule a government, so you basically train them in everything, so that whatever will be needed will be served by that way. So, and that is what probably people are trying to do now also, as the modern world is going ahead. They are trying to take opinion from everyone, in the sense, trying to catch whatever is best can come out from them. So how would be that? Any glimpse on that?
How it will be implemented?
Yeah. Whether it will be good, or what do you think about it?
Whether implementing Varnashram in society at large will be good? That is your question? Actually, majority of the discussion was trying to, we were trying to portray that only. Yeah, so if society has to be, society even at large has to run peacefully as possible in the material world, then one has to follow the principles of Varnashram. Right? And it's not that, you know, everybody is trained for everything. That is not possible. Right? Everybody is trained in Krishna consciousness, but then specifically what they need, like the scriptures describe, all the Dharma Shastras describe in detail. If somebody is a qualified Kshatriya, and say suppose you have to train a person who is going to become a Kshatriya, right? It's not yet the case now, but then you should teach him whatever principles of Dharma Shastras are there, right? Of course, it is said that a Kshatriya is never going to accept anything which is not practical. Unless you explain to him how this can be practically applied, he is not going to accept. Right? One sense, that's how he will be trained. You can't train one person to be everything. Even one, what basically training we give is Brahmanical training only. Right? So, but if it has to be implemented in the society at large, it is not something which can be done overnight. Unless there is a very powerful Brahmana, very knowledgeable and self-realized Brahmana, a leader, and there is a very powerful Kshatriya. Right? This Varnashram will not be implemented at society at large. Like, you know, the example for this is Chanakya and Chandragupta. Chanakya was extremely intelligent and learned, and at the same time Chandragupta also was very he was also well accomplished. So under the guidance of Chanakya, Chandragupta, basically it was established, right? You can say. But how exactly it will happen at society at large, it's quite a distant thing. It may not happen overnight. It will not happen overnight. It is beyond our scope right now. First of all, first to understand what is Varnashram itself is a big task. There are many devotees who are trying different things, but it is certainly not something which will happen immediately. But there is also something called natural Varnashram. There is natural divisions in society. Like Chaturvarnyam Ashrashram, Krishna has created these divisions. Naturally, these divisions in society will exist. There are Vaishyas. There are majority of the population is basically Shudras, right? So if you cast a vote, you will get the opinion of the Shudras, right? That is what is the problem with this system of casting vote, right? So majority opinion, what they call as vox populi, that is what is actually the opinion of the Shudras. Therefore, we should not take majority opinion of the people in general as something important, right? So right now is for us to understand these principles properly, implement it in devotee societies, right, where devotees come together. So there these principles can be first practiced, and society at large will eventually happen, maybe few generations or whatever, because Prabhupada gave guidance about it. It will eventually happen, but it's something of slow thing. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Yes, bro.
Bhaji, as Prabhupada said that for establishment of this Daivi Varnashram Dharma, and we are trying for that, and you said eventually it will happen, we are expecting. But it is also said in the scriptures that Kalo Shudra Samudbhava. So everyone is Shudra. So it seems like impossible task, because it is already said Kalo Shudra Samudbhava, everyone will be Shudra born in Kali Yuga. So why we are unnecessarily, like one will think, why we are unnecessarily working upon establishment of Varnashram Dharma? And
actually we should be working more on spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Though it is mentioned Kalo Shudra Sambhava, that is what is the typical characteristic of a Kali Yuga, where, you know, people are not trained specifically, right? If somebody is not, like you said, Janmana Jayate Shudra, everyone is a Shudra by birth, right? But samskarat bhavet dvija. It says one, if one performs the samskaras, like the taking initiation and so on, then they become dvijas. Samskarat bhavet dvija. Veda pathet bhavet vipra. So when one studies the Vedas, then he becomes a vipra. And once he realizes them, then he becomes a brahmana. Brahma janati iti brahman. Right? So by default, everybody is a shudra. The whole point in Kaliyuga is that they remain shudras. They do not take interest in spiritual life and undergo these purificatory ceremonies. Right? But we understand because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there will be 10,000 years of the golden period. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also predicted that, Nityananda Prabhu predicted, that Krishna consciousness will spread in every town and village. So it is said in this period there will be, it will be like a Satyayuga. It's not yet completely manifest. So all our efforts for doing these activities will not go waste, because eventually when Krishna consciousness is spread all over the world, then this will help. Right? Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Mati.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I just had a comment.
Yes,
and it's about like from the platform of bhakti, that varnasham is the net. It's just that the truth is that we are actually not practicing bhakti. So it's elevation from where we are to the platform of bhakti. And because we are incapable, so therefore the system of varnasham dharma is the stepping stone. So the basic principle of varnasham dharma, I just heard Prabhupada speaking about it, he says it's purity. So therefore we follow the four regulative principles. And we, the practice of bhakti yoga, specifically chanting the 16 rounds and the five most potent anga of bhakti, these elevate the soul gradually to the platform of bhakti. And if we remain only on the platform of varnasham dharma, the nectar devotions say that we fall down from the official status into a hellish condition. So the whole endeavor of the Krishna consciousness movement is actually to elevate people from varnasham dharma to the pure platform of bhakti. But Srila Prabhupada, when he started the movement, he gave the highest. He gave the platform of pure bhakti and allow everybody to just jump and go for pure bhakti. Then gradually when he saw such a struggle, then he says varnasham dharma.
Yes, thank you, Mahaprabhu. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his conversation with Ramananda Rai, therefore when he asks what is the goal of life to Ramananda Rai, Ramananda Rai says varnashram, right? So Chaturvarna Mayashram, he quotes the verse. So there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again says Eho Bahya. So that is not the goal. Varnashram is not the goal which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. Though he does not say you reject Varnashram. He basically says one must go beyond. So he says Age Kahar, you know, please tell more. Like what Mataji was mentioning. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sorry, थोड़ा डिले हो गया।